Figures, the toy and action figure podcast on itfigurespodcast.com, part of the Pop Culture Network. I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Steven.
And I'm Kellen.
Why not Lord this time?
I'm always Lord.
Oh, you just don't need to say it all the time?
It's just...
No, go ahead. Go ahead and say it. For me.
No.
I wanted her to say Lord Kellen just so it's not going to happen.
At this point, I think it's just, you know, it's known.
Okay.
People just know. You don't have to call himself that all the time.
Lord and Master.
I'll come up with a different name for him. I just got to figure
Lord
it out.
And Master Killen.
No, look,
Jester Killen.
Jester Killen.
So I'm talking about a big joke to you, huh?
We can only have one guy on this show that we just randomly rename.
Okay.
We can't be
doing
two.
Come on, we can rename everybody every show.
Every show, everybody.
That's a new game we'll play.
I think we got some more Rick names, too.
Oh, good. Yay.
Rick's still not even here to defend himself.
Didn't he hear?
Hey. By the way, I was reading our forums today, and I read this post from our good friend Ryan Porter, who does the comics corner on our site, on popculturenetwork.com, who says that intern Rick is a liar, that there isn't less Jar Jar in the Blu-ray release of Episode 1, that Rick is wrong.
Well, he does lie a lot, so...
So this today he'll be liar
you can't even fault
intern
him.
Rick?
Liar Rick.
Pinocchio Rick.
Pinocchio
he's
Rick.
He's back to the intern. It's liar intern Rick.
No, we can't double up his name.
Well, why not?
Because.
Okay.
If he's intern Rick again, he's just straight intern Rick.
Fine, he's liar Rick now.
Pinocchio. I like Pinocchio Rick.
Pinocchio Rick.
But instead of his nose growing longer, he just gets sadder. And more emotional. Even more emo with every lie I tell.
Pinocchio Rick.
Pinocchio. I think that might be it. That'd be pretty good.
Uh-oh. He is not going to like that one.
Did he say anything about his nickname that the forum...
I don't think he's even paying attention.
He's probably not. Knowing him, he's not paying attention. I'm sure he has no idea that we gave him a bunch of names last
week.
That's
probably a good thing.
Yeah. But he'll figure it out. One of these days, he'll, like, not have schoolwork or whatever it is he's doing, and he'll show back up for the podcast, and we'll be like, hey, Rick, these are your names now. All of these are all your names.
Right on.
All right, guys. For those of you who might be first-time viewers and listeners, this is a weekly podcast dedicated to the discussion of toys, action figures, and your random craziness. We often go off-topic, but we have a great time doing it, and... We are sure that you will enjoy some of the crazy conversations we are bound to have in every episode. This podcast is hosted on PopCultureNetwork.com, which is our home site. Please check it out. Lots of great content there. You will find the audio version for download right there on the front page of the site. Or, if you prefer the video version of this podcast, you will also find that linked through YouTube. We also encourage you to check out our official YouTube page at youtube.com/popculturenetwork. Like us and hit the subscribe button. We would very, very much appreciate more subscribers. So please spread the word, youtube.com/popculturenetwork. All right, so let's get into some toy discussion for today. Not a lot of news items to discuss, but there are some interesting news items to discuss. Hmm. But we'll start with the least interesting.
Like what?
Well, we're going to start with the least interesting of the group.
You always start the conversation that way.
Always got to start with the least interesting so we can build up to the...
boring Pixel here.
Yep, that's right. All right. So, not necessarily boring, but Toys R Us and McFarlane have announced and released images of their upcoming exclusive Officer Rick Grimes figure that's going to be at Toys R Us. This is the one based off of the TV series. So as you know, the comic series is currently in stores now. The TV series will be approaching soon, and there is one figure that is going to be exclusive to Toys R Us, which is the black and white version of Rick Grimes that has a red blood spatter paint deco.
As he appeared in the Twilight Zone series.
Yeah, I was going to say. It's kind of funny because, obviously, the TV series isn't in black and white, but the comic is. So it's like you got the TV version of the character, but in the comic, black and white. So it's kind of an interesting crossover idea, I guess. And, of course, the blood itself is red while the rest of the figure is black and white. It's kind of a neat little effect, but this will be exclusive only to Toys R Us stores and is supposed to be shipping in December along with TV Series 1.
So not to be confused with the comic version.
That doesn't look like him.
You don't think that looks like him?
No.
Well, maybe
I don't think the face looks like him.
Maybe the full color one looks better. I like them. I think they look really cool.
That one's better.
It's probably just the paint job then.
The black and white,
I guess. You just
it changes his face a little bit, but it looks he looks awesome.
We all know that coming from the olden days.
Oh, he's awesome. What's that guy's name again? The brother of the guy that lost his hand.
I can't
remember.
I know. Daryl. Is it Daryl?
Yeah, Daryl looks awesome.
Yeah, Daryl Dixon. Yep, Series 1 is Rick Grimes, Daryl Dixon, Zombie Walker, and Zombie Biter. So two zombies and two characters, just like the comic wave was. But yeah, I think these are really cool. I haven't picked up any of the comic series yet. I don't know. I haven't decided if I'm going to actually buy any of these yet, but they do look really cool. I like them.
Have you watched the episode?
We are one behind right now since we just got back from vacation.
Well, let me tell you this. This is not a spoiler or anything, but this is something that's ridiculous. In the next episode that aired Sunday night, which I guess would be the 14th?
No.
13th?
13th.
Anyways, they just all of a sudden, they're on the farm, right? But all of a sudden, they like introduced two new characters randomly, as if they had always been at the farm.
What?
That's kind of weird.
It's like a son and daughter, or like maybe a stepson. I don't know. But they're like teenagers, like either teens to early 20-year-olds.
They just show up.
They're just there all of a sudden.
I guess maybe it's possible that they were just in a different room.
No.
Well,
no.
These last couple
have speaking parts, and it's like, who are these people?
They wouldn't have come out to see the son get the surgery and all that.
Because they're searching for Sophia in the woods.
Yeah.
Right. And then all of a sudden this kid comes up. He's like, I hope you look. And you're like, who's this?
They don't explain it all.
No. Not really.
Interesting. I guess we're going to watch that. Maybe we should watch that tonight.
We should.
Yeah. So you get that and you'll see like younger girl and they're just all of a sudden there, which they weren't previously. At least I didn't see them before.
No, unless
they were in a background shot of a passing.
There was the young girl that hooks up with the Asian.
Right.
And then there was the older lady that was the wife of the guy that died.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that fat guy that died. And the and the old vet.
His name is Otis.
Otis.
But you can call him fat guy if you want.
Sorry, I couldn't remember his name. Otis. And then the vet.
I don't know why I'm so bad at remembering all their names.
I know, so am I.
But I'm really bad at remembering all their names on this show so far. Like, I love it, and I know all the characters. I'm just like, who's that one again? I don't know why.
Yeah. So, anyway, these two new people just appear, and they're like, oh.
I'm trying to think if there was somebody
Guess they
else.
Were always in this farm that's real small, and we've seen every possible angle.
Was there one more? No, there wasn't.
Yeah, there was. There's two more, obviously, that you missed.
No,
we all missed them. Anyways, too. I'm just saying, what's up with that?
Make it more interesting.
Like, somebody definitely knew somebody who got a part, is what I'm thinking.
Well, are these characters in the comics? Do we know?
I don't know.
I haven't read the
I don't even know if that yet. Even matters.
If you've read the comics, let us know.
Because they're changing, you know, it's a TV show.
They are.
It's loosely based.
Some things are different, yep.
Well, maybe they were busy, so that was the only episode they could actually get into.
Somebody won a contest, that's all I know. And they got on.
Somebody won a contest.
Well, no, because the contest winner is supposed to become a zombie.
Maybe. Oh, they did do that,
didn't they? Yeah,
they did. I totally forgot about that. It was like for a walk-on zombie part or something.
Well, then director...
It's not like the Glee Project. Maybe they just had a bunch of people battling it out to be in the episodes of Walking Dead. Yeah.
That was the
Zombie
word.
Project. Right. The Zombie Project. Yeah. All right, let's move on to this week's update of the G.I. Joe subscription. The Collector's Club subscription. So two more figures have been revealed. So we're at number 10 and number 11 now, which means there is only two more figures left to be revealed after this. The 12th figure and then the bonus figure is all that's left.
Ooh.
So, figure number 10 is Surefire. And figure number 11 is Covergirl.
Maybe she's born again.
I think these is what is our friend on the forum, Commander in Chief, who does the What's on Joe Mind podcast, totally called some of these figures like Cover Girl. And
she looks funny.
Well, she looks funny. You don't like
I don't like her face.
You don't like the face sculpt?
Mm-mm. She makes it look like it, or it could just be like, you know,
she's very opinionated towards other female.
That's right. Toys. That's right, yes. Very opinionated.
Could just be the angle that the picture was taken.
Oh, like her face and her dress is stupid.
You're
like
stupid.
She's not even wearing a dress.
All right, so we have another update from Commander in Chief, who's again giving his opinion on stuff. So I thought we'd go ahead and read that off. The CoverGirl just got revealed this evening, so he hasn't posted about her yet. So I'm sure we'll have that next week. But he did post about his thoughts on Surefire. He put, while it's modeled after its version 1 O-ring likeness, its bright green colors remind me more of Duke versions 17 and 31. It looks like the club managed to get the vest tooling of the newest version of Law. Obviously, this was used to get the law enforcement badge because, after all, Surefire is a member of the CID. The head sculpt is new and is modeled after the figure's real-life namesake, who happens to be a G.I. Joe Club employee. I don't remember Surefire being a highly sought-after figure back in the early 2000s. I don't remember seeing this figure on very many want lists. Why did we get it? I feel this figure is a bit gratuitous, considering his file name and likeness is that of a club employee. While I'm sure he did a ton of legwork and probably encountered a ton of flack from the online fandom, I really do believe his work is worthy of an action figure, but not a premium first-wave subscription figure. I would have understood if it was Wave 3 or maybe Wave 2, but Wave 1 seems a bit, well, it seems a little bit narcissistic. Up until this point, the figures chosen to be part of the subscription have just about been on many's want list with the exception of Surefire and Topside. At least Topside was made to look cool and fans were quick to accept it. Even the figures at the bottom of the current list, Barrel Roll and Grunt, are better choices than Surefire. Mm-hmm. I don't know. Color me a bit disappointed at this choice of one of... the self-serving nature it perceives. The club still does its typical fantastic job on the details of the paint applications. This sadly tumbles to the bottom of the list at number 9 with Barrel Roll moving up. So disappointing, it's such a wasted slot.
Wow. Well, so, I'll have you know that he is one of the key characters in the G.I. Joe franchise.
I was just getting ready to say... This figure is apparently the Mighty Spectre of the G.I. Joe world. Apparently it's modeled after one of the guys who works at the club, just like Spectre is obviously Toy Guru's character, and apparently it's getting flack from the fans because of it, so it sounds like it's the exact same situation. So,
well,
interesting. Interesting.
I, for one, will buy this figure solely because it is one of the key characters in the core.
Like, really?
Yeah, you know, Cobra Commander couldn't really function without him.
I think it's a Joe.
Yeah.
Okay.
He gets up every morning,
all right,
wakes up by his bed, turns and looks at his picture on his nightstand, and who's the picture of?
Surefire.
Yeah, why of course. Not? Why wouldn't it be?
Why not?
And he gets up and he fist bumps it.
Fist bumps the picture. Yeah.
He said, thanks for being there, bro. You made my day.
All right.
And he gets up and he does some stuff, you know? All in the name of him.
Hey, look at this. Commander in Chief jumped in with CoverGirl. He got on there this afternoon. Ooh, so here we go.
Breaking news.
He says, CoverGirl, I am not a fan. I've never been a fan. I could care less about this character. For some reason, since 2004-ish, there has been a very vocal group of collectors wanting this figure. Well, fine now. The club did me a huge favor by putting this figure out and not having to hear about it. Why doesn't CoverGirl have a 25th era figure? It is pretty much a dead-on recreation of the Sparta figure that was in the 2011 convention set. So CoverGirl is here. Buy her up, fellas, and put your money where your mouth is. She lands mid-pack in the 11 scenes so far. So, Another one that he's not super fond of, but he didn't put it as low as Surefire.
So, if you buy a Surefire, you're definitely going to want his girlfriend, Covergirl.
Well, apparently a lot of people do want Covergirl, and he's just not one of them. It sounds like it's one of those, like, cult favorite type things, like where everybody demands her.
Well, she is a key character in the G.I. Joe franchise.
She was in the movie.
She not only was she in the movie, was but she did inspire the comic books. All of them.
All of them. Really?
Yeah.
Amazing.
And if you look at the covers, you'll see a little picture of her on every cover. Somewhere.
Somewhere.
Thus giving her the name Cover Girl.
Cover Girl. Amazing. Well done.
Think. This is a thinking show, too.
It is. It really is.
So now you
we have a lot of interesting facts on this show.
You know,
interesting.
I will
is the key word.
You know, if you're hungry, all you little hungry people out there wanting the Killen's knowledge, I'll just feed it to you all day, baby birds.
Yeah,
here you go.
All right, I got another post I wanted to read on the same subject because I thought this was interesting in contrast to Commander in Chief's usual posts. This is from Phoenix for Flame on our forum, who is one of our new forum members. So welcome to the boards. He says, I just want to put my two cents in on the G.I. Joe figure subscription. It sucks.
Word.
I'm a G.I. Joe guy first. I've been collecting since I was 4. My earliest memory is walking into my local Toys R Us and seeing the display for the first run figures. I got Grunt that year for Christmas. I still have him and all of my childhood Joes. All of my Transformers and Masters of the Universe are now in Toy Heaven, sadly. I was expecting hole pluggers for my 25th anniversary collection, and what we're getting are 3 3/4 inch versions of one or two figures from every obscure line other than 25th. Ironclaw, Jinx, and Dice fit well, but for what they're probably going to charge for these, I could pay far less for insane eBay rates and still come out ahead. why they can't give us the sub-exclusive dial tone or convention figure at reasonable prices in this subscription or figures along those lines is beyond me. It's not what a lot of us were expecting. That's how the club works, though. Unless Hasbro does something like Maddie directly, I think we can expect more of this. It's the club's MO to do these kind of figures and at these jacked up high prices. Low runs and semi-bootlegging operating model makers makes this inevitable, I guess. Anyway, if you know anyone that can sell me a 25th Steel Cobra, I'd appreciate it. Other than that, I think a lot of us are going to pass. Last of all, Flying Squirrel Grunt, what the F? So, there is a G.I.
for life.
Yeah, there is a G.I. Joe fan on the other side of the spectrum. This one is actually more in line with what I initially thought a lot of G.I. Joe fans would feel about the club when I first heard about it. So now I've seen two very interesting perspectives on the subscription. So I like that.
Bootlegger operation.
Yeah, bootlegging operation.
I like that.
Wow.
You know what? That's a good post. We're going to put that in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah. So, yeah, definitely I want to give big props to both Phoenix for Flame and Commander-in-Chief for putting their posts up and their thoughts on this. It's good to hear from some of the Joe collectors and hear kind of both sides of that spectrum. Hear how fans are feeling about it on both ends.
Bootlegger operation.
It's going to be like your thing now.
I love it. You're just telling it how it is.
Just telling it how it
really
is.
It really was.
Yeah, he didn't hold any punches, did he? All right, so here we go. The big news that just broke today is that Bandai finally sent out images of the new Thundercats figures for 2012. So yes, the next waves won't be coming out until the beginning of 2012. So they're not releasing any more this year, apparently. Unless some of these might, I guess, leak out in December. It's always possible.
Oh, they'll be on eBay.
Yeah.
From some Chinese factory soon.
So the big news is that... some Chinese factory. Yeah, you're probably right. So the big news from this is that we have confirmation that they are switching the Thundercat Classic scale from 8-inch to 6 inches. So just like we thought was going to happen, it is in fact happening. Now, they did go on to say that in order to to make the collectors happy who have already picked up the 8-inchers, they are going to continue the 8-inch line in an exclusive manner. But they would have more details on that at a later date. So they don't have any details on that. I don't know exactly what they mean by, like, an exclusive basis. But they did tease that we think when we do have the information that fans will be very happy about her.
Of course.
So I think they're obviously pointing at Chitara being the next 8-inch figure. I just don't know what it means by it's going to be like an exclusive basis or a limited run. I don't know exactly what they're meaning by that. Hopefully, that doesn't mean that it's going to be a $40 8-inch figure like the stupid San Diego Lion-O was. So we'll see. For the rest of us, some of you might be happy, some of you might be upset, but the fact is, the Classics line is now in a 6-inch scale, and those are starting at retail in early 2012. And the first two figures in the wave are Lion-O and Mumm-Ra. So now we have a Mumm-Ra based on the original animated series, and we have another Lion-O, but now in the 6-inch scale. The Lion-O has a different he looks exactly the same as the 8-inch figure, except for his head sculpt. This version of Lion-O has, like, an open mouth. Like, he's got, like, a screaming look on his face.
That's what I was trying to look at. Yeah. What is that?
And, honestly, I just don't know how I feel about the screaming look. It's like...
looks like he's just got his mouth open.
Are you saying, ho?
No, he doesn't even look like he's saying ho. He looks like he's like, rah! He's super mad.
Never mind. Yeah, he is...
he looks angry.
He does.
Because he's in 6-inch now, and he's really
upset. Oh, he's mad that he's in 6-inches?
He's like, what?
I don't know how I feel about that screaming head. I wish if they were going to do that, he had like interchangeable heads or something so we can put the normal look on him. But now I think...
he's already got the normal look.
But it's in a different scale. The problem is they're switching the scale on us, so now we have to have these figures all
over. Well, maybe they'll give you a head pack.
No, what they'll probably do is release another Lion-O in 6... he'll probably be like, Wave 2, Lion-O with different head and another member of the Thundercats team.
And...
there'll be a Lion-O...
3, 4, 5, 6...
Lion-O in every wave, yep.
Ice armor Lion-O.
So there'll be a million Lion-Os, and Smash, whatever character it is, there'll be like one.
Smash Blade Lion-O.
Night Attack Lion-O.
Arctic Suit Lion-O.
Dragon Punch Lion-O.
Scuba Dive Lion-O.
Deep Sea Lion-O.
I can't wait for Scuba Dive.
Oh, Arctic Gear, too. Arctic Gear. Yeah.
Arctic Gear, yeah.
That's my favorite.
Let's see, now we're going the Batman route.
Same thing.
Those are all the Batman variants.
They're the every variant.
Dude, Batman, Spider-Man, and 2000X He-Man have some of the craziest variants.
Oh, 2099 Lion-O.
Lion-O, 2099. The Scarlet Lion-O. Lion-O Riley. Now we're just getting crazy.
Doppelganger Lion-O.
Doppelganger Lion-O.
He's got six arms.
Yeah, I don't know. He looks okay in the pictures, and... honestly, I'll probably pick these up and give them a chance. Check them out in person.
I will not.
I know. The Mumm-Ra, he looks okay, too. He doesn't look as good as he should, but it's the Bandai thing, you know? Like, first of all, he's another one of those figures like Tigra where he doesn't have the articulation cut in his midsection, so it makes his chest look puffier than Lion-O, because Lion-O has the articulation cut.
He's hulking up.
Also, his hands look huge in proportion to, like, his arms.
It could be just a picture, though.
I think they took Incredible Hulk parts.
I like the face, though.
And pieced them together.
Is that what they did?
That's why he has the big hands.
And the helmet's cool.
Yeah, I like the head sculpt is pretty good on it. So I'll definitely pick it up, just so I can at least get a Mumm-Ra.
He definitely has the snakes on the plane face.
Yeah. One thing that Bandai didn't mention, there was MTV Geek actually did an interview with Bandai America when they released these images, and they specifically asked them about the unpainted joints and if they would be fixing that. And first of all, Bandai's answer to the question just made me laugh out loud because they were like, well, we feel that we have the best action figures on the market, or it was something to that effect, and I was just like, whoa, really?
Them fighting words.
Do you now?
Oh, really?
Yeah. But then they went on to say that... that they are going to be addressing the unpainted joints and the exposed screws going forward. So hopefully that means that all these figures will have the joints painted over this time, and that'll be one less thing I'll have to complain about.
You get a sticker pack to put over the
sticker
the screw
pack. Holes. Yeah, yeah. Cover up the screw holes. But yeah, that's what people have actually suggested. That can we at least get like some little caps or something to cover up the screws, because they do have really big silver screws stuck right in their backs, you know?
That's how they're portrayed in the cartoon.
Oh, okay. So it'll be interesting to see how these actually turn out. They also announced two more figures in their 6-inch modern series line. So the next two figures in that are Tigra and Chitara. And these are the ones based on the current animated series. Already on store shelves is Lion-O, Panthro, and Mumra. So now we'll have Chitara and Tigra to add to the team. Which means all we'll be left with after that is Wile E. Kit and Wile E. Cat. Snarf. These look pretty good. I like these. My problem is I'm looking at these and I'm like, well, part of the reason these look so good is because these are definitely the prototypes. Mm-hmm. They're painted better, et cetera, et cetera. I guarantee when these get released, they're going to be that same shiny plastic that I don't like. The paint jobs aren't going to be that good.
Shiny.
No, not...
You don't like the shine.
It's different.
You like
I like metallic.
You like mirror.
Yeah, there you go. I like vac metal when it's supposed to be vac metal.
First of all, they're glowing because they're Twilight inspired.
Oh, well then I definitely don't like them.
That's what I'm saying. That's why I don't like them.
Okay. And there's the Tigra. The Tigra looks pretty cool too. I haven't picked up any of the 6-inch modern series figures yet, but I'm probably going to start. And
you're
check them
have
out.
To.
Yeah, because I kind of want to get. I kind of like the idea now of being able to have the original team and the modern series team all on the same scale. I kind of like that. So I'm probably going to end up picking all these up. So yeah, more Thundercats on my shelf. And I'll, more things for me to complain about. Why do I torture myself?
You're a nerd.
Yeah, why do you torture
nerd.
Yourself?
I am
Stop
a nerd. Now these might turn out to be great. You know, I'm just a little. You know, after the seeing that whole. Did I show you the pictures of that? I posted on the forums that Rita Repulsa figure that I saw from the Power Rangers line that has got the worst paint job I have ever seen on a figure with the dots for eyes.
Yeah.
Like, seriously, that's like Bandai. What are you thinking putting something out like that? And it's just like...
That's artistic.
I just know that they should be able to do better. And that's
why...
They
can do better.
That's why I'm like...
They gotta put more time into it, though.
Yeah. I want this line to be awesome, so... That's why I'm so hard on it. I'm hard on you because I love you.
And other reasons.
What does that mean? Other reasons.
I don't know.
It's insinuating.
It is.
There's a lot of...
Well, I just know who you would rather be having them make them.
Oh, that's no secret. I say that all the time.
Uh-oh.
I am just a biased Mattel fanboy after all.
First of all, look. Bandai reported that they had the best figures, so I don't even know why you're talking
about that. Yes, that's true. With the dotted eyes.
My mistake. They said that they produced the best 6-inch line out there, so.
And they were on TV, they don't lie. Or wherever that was. In a written post.
Yes, because nobody lies.
Alright, well let's go ahead and take a quick commercial break, and then when we come back, we've got a awesome fan corner to go through, and some topics to discuss, and some questions to answer.
Yay.
So we'll be right back.
What it is, friends. Sween Holic here, inviting you to join me every Monday for Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk. What's that, you ask? Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk is my weekly video series in which we take a look at my favorite toy line of yesteryear, vintage Playmates Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. If you're a green teen goer, I'm betting you'll have a great time getting reacquainted with old friends or meeting new ones for the first time. That's Radical Retro Turtle Toy Talk at www.radicalretro.com, part of the Pop Culture Network.
Hi, I'm Alan Price.
And I'm Chris Finn. I also do a podcast called Master Universe Chronicles.
But we're not here to talk about that.
Well, He-Man and She-Ra have also been on the show.
To my vein and to the annoyance of my entire life, yes, this is Operation Retro Shock. And he managed to get me to let He-Man on the show.
Power, you see.
But He-Man is not what we mainly cover. We cover loads of retro things, be it the 80s, the 90s. I know you can't really class the noughties as retro, but we talk about stuff from then anyway.
We're not naughty though, right?
No, we're far from naughty.
Okay.
But we cover things like Back to the Future, Doctor Who, Star Wars, Batman, you name it. We'll either have done it or gonna do it.
Yeah, so obviously you listen to podcasts that's on popculturenetwork.com, very much like ours. Ours is uploaded, 2 weeks out of 4 on a Sunday. So then you can listen to all the retro goodness, and you can even contribute if you want to. You can head over to the Pop Culture Network forums and type in there what you'd like to see. Heck, you can even buy a t-shirt with an Operation Retro Shock logo on it.
And you could be entered in the competition. So yes, join us every other Sunday for some retro goodness.
Oh yeah, dig it!
Hey guys, I'm Rob Bass, calling all my comic book fanatics to come check out Comic Nation TV the last Friday of every month as well as Comic Nation TV comic news every Friday on the Pop Culture Network.
Alright guys, welcome back from the break. It is now time for the It Figures Fan Corner.
Woohoo!
You guys have been lighting us up on the forums with questions and topics. I love it. This has actually been a lot of fun to discuss on the show. Zaku, who says, "Greetings, me hearties. I've got a question I hope you can answer. What's up with Jazzwares Mega Man line? Is it dead already? I was looking forward to it. Thanks, and you guys keep doing that voodoo you do too well." All right. So, the Jazzwares Mega Man line, actually, when we were at New York Toy Fair at the beginning of the year, we talked to Joe Amaro with Jazzwares about this, and he explained to us at the time that the plan was for 2011 to pretty much focus solely on the Sonic 25th anniversary line and their Street Fighter and their Mortal Kombat lines. The Mega Man line is supposed to start in 2012. So we should be seeing those new 3¾-inch scale Mega Man figures next year. So hopefully, when we go to Toy Fair this year, they'll have some of those on display for us to check out.
Well, they did pump out a ridiculous amount of Sonic merchandise.
Mm-hmm.
But the Street Fighter and the Mortal Kombat, they've been kind of like slowly
Well, they just started. The 3¾-inch Mortal Kombat figures just started coming out. They just hit retail. And the Street Fighter stuff hit retail like a week or so ago. So that stuff should be all coming out like from now forward. I haven't picked any of that up yet. I did pick up some of the 25th anniversary Sonic figures. So those are... I haven't actually had to play with them or anything yet, but I picked some up because I like that they're
you
doing...
You mean display them.
Well, whatever. I haven't displayed them yet. I like that they're doing...
Play with them.
I actually really like that they're doing figures based on the characters' looks from the original game, from like 92, 93.
Uh-huh.
So those are the ones that I've been picking up.
Hey, question.
Yeah.
From forum member Lord Killen. Is it true that you also play with your toys in a bathtub to do a comparison?
Yes, it's comparison time.
And how buoyant they are.
Well,
how much the paint wears.
Actually, comparison time originated in the Great Bubble Bath of 2008.
That was a terrible time. Terrible.
I was hanging out in the bathtub with my favorite Masters of the Universe action figure, Mosquitor.
Mm-hmm.
And I was pretending like he was sucking blood for me, and the only way I could get him off is to cover him in bubbles. And then when I, you know,
that's
I was,
a very interesting, but very oddly similar plot line to a homemade chrono that you may or may not have participated in.
Well,
1997.
Yeah. So then that's what happened next, is you know, because Christina came in there and she's like, "Hey, are you still taking a bubble bath?" And I'm like, "Not just any bubble bath. It's an epic bubble bath battle to the death with Mosquitor." And she's like, "Look, you got to get out. It's my turn for a bath." And I'm like, "Look, it's comparison time." And then, like, a light bulb went off in my head. And, you know, now I do He-Man reviews.
Hmm. Well.
Oh, that was horrible.
I kind of recall the papers reporting the
shortage of...
It was a shortage of bubble bath. Epidemic.
I was using it all.
I mean, how is Look, young college women going to be soapy and sudsy?
I had to get my bubble bath. That's all I know.
Oh, man.
So that's how that happened. Thanks. And I didn't really answer my question, but I appreciate the story. Keep doing what you do.
You don't want to have the answer.
Will do. Okay. So the next question comes from Gamer Roxas. I think I did that last week. Hey guys, I got two questions. Number one, I collect DC Universe Classics, and I was wondering, what were your favorite figures from that line? And number two, how big is your toy collection?
Whoa.
That's a really general question.
That's very personal.
That's
vague.
He has a huge collection.
That's what she said.
Yeah, zing. Topanga.
Favorite DC Universe Classics figure. I'm a cherry picker with DC Classics. I only pick up a few of the characters here and there that I really like. The Batman characters are my favorites. And I would probably say that some of my favorites would include, like, I really like the Azrael Batman that came out just recently. I thought that figure was awesome. So that'll be up there pretty high. I actually like the classic blue and gray suit Batman that was, like, way back in the first wave. And I like the all-black repaint of that figure, too. So those are some of my favorites in the line.
Well, I do appreciate the Indigo Tribe Adam with his free cola horn.
Yeah, do you?
Yeah. That's the only one I have, so that's the one I like. And I only have it because I reviewed it.
Great. Awesome.
So, you know, I can't really give a good opinion on that one, but he was all right. He had tattoos, and he had the free cola horn.
And the Ricola. Do you like any of the DC figures, Dina? No, you don't know? Okay.
I like Batman.
Batman. All right, so how big is your toy collection? That's like... I have a basement dedicated to my display, and you've probably seen some of my shelves, like, in the background of some of my videos. I don't really know how else to explain it to you right now.
It's
without,
big. It's
without,
just big.
That's what she said. I don't know how to explain it to you without actually...
Yeah, I need to look. I haven't seen since you read...
Maybe
he'll take pictures when he's done. If he's
I haven't
ever
been
done.
Over since you redid it, so
I did like a pretty heavy duty cleaning like a week or so ago. So
can
now
actually
it,
see the floor.
Now it looks really cool down there. Like I've got it set up, looking pretty good. It's
did
not
you
like perfect
lights?
Yet, but
did you put in lights.
It's still kind of dark down there.
You put a strobes in?
Huh?
Black light.
Yeah, I got a black light.
Awesome, that's pretty cool.
I don't have
that's
it hung cool. up. I don't have any cool posters.
Do you got Grateful Dead posters in the
wall? I don't have any yet, but I'm going to get some. For sure. With the Daddy Bears walking on.
Oh, yeah, for sure. All right.
All right, next question is from Sportimus, who says, what a great channel and awesome show you have going on. It's nice to see a group hanging out and enjoying their hobbies together. I wish I had that in my life as well. Aww. Well, you do. You have us.
You could be our friends
you
on
are
the
part
Facebook.
Of, you are part of our family. Anyway, my first question is for Lord Killen. And that is, how do you display your Lego collection? It seems like Lego is a lot like Star Wars. There's just so much of it. For me, I had to tear most of my collection down and store them because I ran out of room quick.
Word.
And you don't need a lot of Lego sets to do that. How do you manage your Lego display? Do you rotate them out once in a while?
Currently, they are in probably about 50 totes. I mean, it's literally, I have enough Legos... most of them are completely sealed other than ones I reviewed, but they are enough to start a store because I have multiples of sets. I generally have 2 to 3 of most of the sets I like. Some of the sets I even have a full case of that I haven't even opened yet. And I know that's ridiculous, but when I bought them for the store here, if I liked a particular set, I would just keep the case because my thought was I'm not going to get to it for a while. And maybe in a year or two when I actually get to that set, I'll sell the other ones that were in that case because they'll be no longer on the market and they'll be worth some money. And I'll make my money back then. So I thought more of an investment. So that's why I have so many Legos. But right now they're all in totes. I did buy a bunch of wooden, like, real long shelvings that I guess you would put maybe if you were a thimble collector.
Yeah.
I don't know why they were from some antique wall, but I bought these long ones. And I think I was just going to put all the little minifigures on them. But then I got a better idea. I bought a case of, like, the big base plates. And I was going to, like, sticky them to the wall and then attach the minifigures to the base plates by their feet and have them hang a little bit off. And then put rows of all the different figures.
Oh,
on
wow.
That'd
be cool.
And just make
yeah.
a wall of just straight figures.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
You got to do that, dude.
So that's my plan.
It.
I have probably 50 base plates, the large ones, that I'm just going to just sticky to the wall and then just stick all the different minifigures. Instead of running all the sets, I'm just going to just do the minifigures.
That would be sweet. All right, so he also says, what do you think of the UFO, Ninjago, and the upcoming Dino series of Legos? Which is your favorite line? Mine so far is Pirates of the Caribbean and Harry Potter.
Yeah, Harry Potter.
I didn't even know there was a Dino series coming out. Is that what they're going to show us at Toy Fair this year?
Yeah, probably.
That sounds awesome.
I'm actually looking forward to the Marvel and DC stuff coming out soon.
Yeah. Oh, they'll definitely have that stuff on display.
Right now, I decided to cut down my collection. I've went through what I have in my basement. I'm like, you know what? I really don't care about Star Wars that much. I really don't need the Star Wars Legos anymore. So I think I'm going to stick to... And I really don't do the city ones other than the figures. So I think I'm going to go stick with the Pirates theme, and I'm going to stick with the Castle theme. And I'm going to pretty much buy everything that fits in. To me, the Ninja line fits in with the Castle theme somewhat, so that's a keeper. The Vikings line, that fits in with the Castle theme. I'm keeping those. I always love the pirate stuff, so I'm keeping that. And I do like the Alien Conquest stuff a lot, but I don't like the ship design. Like, the spaceships are kind of weird and big and bulky.
I like that line, but I haven't picked anything.
But I do like the figures. Just like the Atlantis figures, terrible. Like, I don't care about Atlantis, but I do like the minifigs that they made.
Yeah.
So, and in Pharaoh's Quest, same thing. I didn't really care about the sets, but I do love the figures. I don't know. I think I'm sticking with the figs, but I will collect all the pirates and castle-themed sets that I can find.
All right, and his last question is for Pixel Dan, Lord Killenstina, and Rescue Ranger Rick.
That's awesome. I love that one. That's awesome.
Which is a pretty clever name. Huh. It says, what are your top five favorite Masters of the Universe Classics figures you have so far? I always hate having to rank these things.
I'll go first.
Okay, what's your first? Your five
okay,
favorite?
I'm not good with names, so you're going to have to help me.
Well, how can you make a list if you don't know their names?
I know what they look like. Battle Cat.
Battle Cat's your favorite?
Yeah.
Okay.
What's the other
cat? Panther.
I didn't say Panther.
Panthro. Panthor. Same, you know, switch the R around.
Yeah. Orko.
Orko.
I like the extra guys.
That's cool, yeah. You like the sidekicks.
What's the one that glows?
Scareglow.
Scareglow. And I really like the elephant one that just came out.
Snoutspout.
Snoutspout. Mm. I liked him.
Hmm. All right.
That's weird.
This is going to be rough, but I am not ranking these in order. I'm just going to tell you my five.
No. One is in order.
He asked you.
I can't rank them.
Right. You can't pick your favorite one.
What's number one?
All right. I would say,
based on your favorite, you just pick.
If he doesn't say the number one, I think he's going to say he is no longer.
What? Okay. I think that the best figure in the line so far still is Trapjaw.
What?
Yeah. I think Trapjaw is... He's got the coolest sculpt. He's got the coolest accessories with all the interchangeable parts. He is probably my favorite. Man-at-Arms is still one of my favorites in the line. Scareglow is definitely up there because I've always been a huge Scareglow fan. And so he's definitely way up there. This is tough. Trying to narrow down five.
Wow, really?
Yeah.
So is this what is already out, or does this happen to be also
the
figures you have, like, in each set?
No, he's talking about the Classics figures. Yeah. So everything that's been released so far in Classics.
I thought your first one would be Mosquitor, but...
Mosquitor's not out yet.
You like Buzzoff.
I do like Buzzoff a lot. When Mosquitor gets released, he will absolutely be my favorite, unless they completely screw him up. But I have faith in the Horsemen. They won't do that. I really like Flipshot. How about that? I'll throw him out there. Flipshot is an awesome
First of all,
figure.
His name's not Flipshot.
Icarius, whatever. He's awesome. Optic's really cool, too.
You
I
really
got to throw Optic in
the
there.
The elephant.
Jeez. Snoutspout was okay.
Kind of wish Stinkor was out, because that would be
Stinkor
in mind.
Stinkor would
have... Because he was awesome.
He would be really cool, too.
Well, you don't know what you're talking about. Look.
You go ahead, man.
For me...
This is too tough.
I like the... Really? I like the Skeletor, number one, for sure.
Skeletor.
Battle Armor Skeletor could be my number two. Scareglow is definitely right there. I do like the custom Skeletor I got from Hunter Knight.
Oh, so you're going to throw that in there?
Yep, that's my favorite one, actually, of all the ones I have. Thank you, Hunter Knight. You're the man. And I will go for my last pick, just randomly. I'm going to have to go with Panther.
Panther?
Because it's Skeletor's...
I just...
Car.
I like them all. It's too hard to make me judge. Like a car.
That's his car.
I like Mechaneck, but only because I want to know how long his neck is.
Also, he's not out yet, and that's what she said.
I know.
Yeah, it's absolutely what she said.
He's not out yet?
I'm just trying to figure out how long his neck is.
No, they have not released
really?
Mechaneck yet. They haven't even shown him off yet. So we don't even know if he's coming.
I'm sure he's coming.
Although, look, stop spoiling.
Although we got Stinkor now, and he'll have the same armor. All right, Gundam Warrior says, howdy ho again. Question number one. I'm personally not into the 1980s Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. As many other of my 80s, 90s brothers, I personally found the original cartoon a little too goofy for my taste, and felt they traded in the ninjutsu for slapstick comedy and bad puns.
Yes.
I personally had more interest in the clones, like Biker Mice from Mars, Toxic Crusaders, Wild West Cowboys of Moo Mesa, and SWAT Cats. I just thought the character settings and ideas were more... I thought the character settings and ideas more than what the Turtles had to offer. I think he meant like.
Go to Jamaica for a week and you just...
I forget how to read. Exactly. I just want to keep throwing in Yaman and Irie. All right. My question, bluntly put... Did you enjoy any of the Ninja Turtle clones, cartoon or figures?
SWAT Cats was awesome.
SWAT Cats was a cool cartoon. I did not have any of the toys.
That would be my
favorite.
And
they're super hard to find those figures now.
Yeah, for sure.
I do like a lot of the Turtle clone when it comes to the toys. And I've actually, you know, done videos on a lot of them because of that. So, like, Stone Protectors, I think, is a pretty cool toy line. As goofy as it is, I really like that toy line. I really like Toxic Crusaders. I think that's an awesome toy line. So, yeah, I'm definitely a fan of those. And there's so many of those Ninja Turtle clones out there. I mean, that was a big thing, you know, so everybody copied it.
I think the new stuff coming down the road is going to be cool.
The new Turtles figures?
That we saw in San Diego?
I'm really interested in the toys. The cartoon series, I'm still not sure how I feel about its overall look, but I'm for sure going to give it a chance. I'm still excited that Turtles are coming back, you know.
But the toys look amazeballs.
I do. I really like the look of those toys. I can't wait till we get better pictures and, like, they release them to the public. All right, question two. After Mattel wasting away the Back to the Future rights, would you rather have seen NECA get the Back to the Future license? I know they might be more staction than figure, but I would rather have that than nothing outside of the Hot Wheels.
If NECA had it, we would get more than figures. We'd be getting board games and...
They would definitely make replicas of
all
kinds
of stickers and shirts and... They do the merchandising very well.
I think they would definitely make some awesome figures. NECA would, for sure, for Back to the Future. I have no doubt about
it. And really, all you need is one or two. It's not like you need...
Marty and Doc, seriously. Yeah. And maybe there are certain variations of those two that'd be cool. Like, I wouldn't mind having a futuristic Marty McFly.
Maybe one for each movie.
Yeah, I mean, like, if they...
The one in the cowboy outfit?
Yeah, exactly. Like, that'd be cool. I'd be totally cool with that.
They could also make the car and the train.
Yeah, that'd be huge. But that would be cool.
Well, they don't think
so. Oh, you mean like if they did just replicas or like figure sized? Because figure sized, they'd be huge.
Well, Biff's car full of poo.
Biff's car full of poo. Perfect. I hate manure!
They could make him with his hover around skateboard.
Oh, he'd have to come with the hoverboard for sure.
Oh, yeah, that's
for
absolute.
Sure.
And Mattel is definitely not giving that up.
All right, next question is from another new forum member, Shugi002. She says, "Hi guys, my name is Shugi002 and I'm from Malaysia. My first question, if I purchase items from your store, can you guys ship to Malaysia, and how much would shipping cost?" It's for you, Killen.
Yeah, we do. We actually ship anywhere in the world. There's no place we haven't shipped to, I think, by now. Just today, I'm sending stuff to Kakistan, which is...
Really?
Kakistan.
Send it to Boris, apparently.
Send it to Borat? Yeah. Very nice. I like.
Borat. Yeah, we do. I ship to Malaysia all the time. Shipping times vary. You know, when we ship stuff out of the country, I would like to say we get it to you quick, but there is no guarantee that once it leaves the United States that you're going to get it any, like, certain time.
Yeah.
I have people that get stuff from us internationally in, like, a matter of days, magically somehow. And then there's people that don't get it to, like, 5 weeks. So it really depends on the customs of your country and ours, how fast they pass it through there and get it to them. But like I said, on average, it takes about a week, maybe 2 weeks on average. Like I said, some people reportedly, I have stuff that's in Australia that got it in, like, 4 days. And I'm like, I have no idea how that was even, like, possible.
That's crazy.
But there are some people, especially if we're going to South America or in some more sketchy areas. I think, Italy is a little, sometimes has problems. Brazil, you know, Mexico, places down there. Chile.
It's definitely his.
A lot of those places have a little bit of a issue with the postal system. And plus with all the strikes that constantly happen with the country's postal systems, it's hard to say. But yes, we do ship there. The shipping cost is generally about twice as much as the U.S. shipping costs. It's very expensive to ship overseas, so we try to do our best in keeping the costs low, but it is what it is, I guess.
Yeah. So,
but we do guarantee to get all your items out within generally 48 hours. We have these things out of our store in shipping.
Awesome. Awesome. All right, his second question says, this one's for Pixel Dan. How big is your collection? And how much did you spend on your collection?
Oh.
Yeah, maybe I just need to, like, I guess I just need to do another video showing things off if everybody keeps asking.
But you
me.
Need to finish it first.
I know. I need to finish setting it up the way
I
want.
I guess you could do part one and then
maybe
part
I'll two. Do, like, something just to show you guys the way it's currently set up or something. We'll see how it goes.
He's very protective of
That's right. I don't want nobody looking at my stuff.
That's right. It's in the basement.
Casing his.
I'm kidding.
Casing his toys.
All right.
These.
Next question is from Wonderboy, 1234, who is another new member. So awesome. I'm glad people are signing up to ask questions.
Yay.
Says, I have a question for Pixel Dan. If Mattel never made Mosquitor in the Masters of the Universe Classics line, would you just customize your own?
Oh, you'd cry.
Man, they better. I'll be so upset. I don't know if I would be good enough to customize my own. What I would probably do is call our friend Hunter Knight and go, hey, dude. I need a Mosquitor bad because Mattel screwed me. So please help me out. That's probably what I would do.
That's a good call.
Falconhood says, hey guys, do you like clear and translucent figures? If so, are there exceptions?
I
grew up playing with Micronauts, so I have an affinity for them, but find some clear and translucent figures to be unappealing. I think it's when they are completely translucent with no painted lining or the pieces inside or something to break up the monotony is when I don't like them. I first came to realize this after getting the clear Metal Gear figures about 10 years ago. How do you guys feel? I have a weird obsession with translucent figures and like vac metalized metallic figures. So if it's clear and looks like a piece of pretty glass or a piece of candy, I'm probably gonna buy it if it's something I collect.
Candy?
That's what sometimes those things are so colorful, they look like pieces of candy. Like the new Outer Spaceman figures I just got. They look like pretty pieces of candy.
You know, I would say
never heard that one.
I would say those are the only type of like the Glios sized figures. They're the only translucent stuff I like. I don't like any others. Like I don't like any of the weird Star Wars translucent stuff.
The hologram figures and the spirit figures.
Horrific. And
I like them.
No, they're too terrible. But I do like, for some reason, and this is the only way it applies, is I do like those. Figures from the Glios lines, which includes the Outer Spaceman and then the actual just Glios line itself.
What about like the Goddess? She was like a translucent grain. Mm-hmm. Did you like that figure?
No. And apparently not. A lot of people didn't like it either because apparently she just exploded.
Apparently she's super fragile. mine has never fallen yet, so hopefully it doesn't break. What about you? Do you have a thought on translucent figures?
I think they're cool, but I really don't own any.
No?
Well, none of my stuff comes in translucent.
Yeah, hold on.
That's true.
You do own some, because what's his is yours.
Oh, that's right. I own all your
collection. By these rings, we are bound.
Oh, that's
for toy collection.
Yay! I own a lot of stuff. What can I sell?
Anything
to
you
make
want.
Money?
No. You don't get to just
you want.
Sell the stuff.
Hey,
that
look,
doesn't work like that.
If you just bring them into Killer Enterprises, we'll give you
top
dollar.
Top dollar. Right. That's what all you crazy pawn stores say.
This isn't a pawn store.
This could
this
be
is a
high-end
collectible
thing.
Boutique.
No, I'm just happy he lets me have mine downstairs, too. Where I'd have
a
no
share
places.
Space. A share space.
I have one of those
There's
white
a Disney
things
section.
All for myself.
One of those white... Well, a shelf?
Shelves.
Yeah.
I think they're called
shalals.
Well, some of your Disney stuff's on my shelf. And some of my stuff is on your shelves.
Yeah.
Just depends on where it goes.
I think you should put them around the house, like maybe on the top of the toilet bowl.
Oh my god!
Right, you start your own little
closet. Hey, we should totally line up figures on top of the
no!
toilet. That sounds like a perfect place to put toys.
And then I'll put them in the bath too, so you don't have to go downstairs and get them.
Yeah, then we can have epic bubble baths.
Just start gluing them to the wall, like random places. Just
gluing them to the wall. That's where you go.
You my Chewbacca right there.
Black Star right here.
Jasmine, here's a toy.
No! I don't feed the dogs toys. All right, next question is from Quinstar, who says, just one question this week. Do you think we will ever see a Snake Armor He-Man or a 2000X version of King Hiss in the Masters Classics line? I think it's very possible that those are two variants that they'll do eventually. Well, there's been a lot of requests for a 2000X version of King Hiss. Even though I prefer the vintage look, I'm glad that's the way they went. I wouldn't be surprised if they did a 2000X version at some point, because it would be easy. It would basically only require, like, a new head, a little bit of... They could use, like, Chief Carnivus's loincloth, because it's the same kind of loincloth, and it wouldn't be a lot of work. And I think that'd be cool. That'd be a cool refresh. I'd be okay with that.
I don't know, man. I think the Masters line is going to be hurting this coming year.
I doubt it.
I'm feeling it.
Do you want to see a Snake Armored He-Man? Because you're not very happy about the...
So, no, Snake Man at Arms is a Snake Man at Arms is a completely different thing. Man at Arms is a Man at Arms figure with a new head. Snake Armor He-Man actually, you know, that was how he looked in the end of season two of the 2000X series, where he's wearing like that full silver armor when he fought the Snake Man. That would be like a completely new sculpt all the way through if they did that.
Okay. Huh. I figured he would look just like.
No, he wouldn't be a snake. He'd be a snake hunter or snake fighter. All right, next question is from PinkSlipX84. If you could have one Masters of the Universe or Princess of Power figure that was advertised but never released, or that is super hard to find, which would it be? Well...
Never released yet?
Yeah, he means... Okay, so he's saying any figure that was, like, never released, like it was a prototype type thing in the old line, like Hero, Eldor, the Star Sisters, etc., or hard to find, like Titus, Megator, stuff like that. If I only had to choose one, I would probably choose to have the original Hero figure. Just because I always really liked the look of that with, like, the back metalized shiny armor and, you know, the staff with the gem on it and everything. I think that'd be really cool. I'd love to have all of those. Titus and Megator? Oh, God, I'd love to have those in my collection. But if I had to choose one, I would choose Hero. Huh. Anybody else have an opinion on that one?
I have no clue.
Not really.
All right. Next question is from DarthJ23. I was wondering of Lord Killen if Lord Killen could give a real-world explanation of the AFA grading experience. I know what the AFA website instructions are, but is it really as easy as they claim it is? Thanks and keep up the great work.
No, not really. The paperwork, they have a PDF form you can fill out, which is very handy. The form itself is fairly simple once you learn the system, but deciding which tier your item fits, because they have a huge list of like 30 possible for this tier, 30 possible for this tier, where your item would fit, and that would determine how much it's going to cost. It's extremely complicated. It's like buying insurance or something. So I always select the most basic standard grading, standard size figure, and send it in and see what happens. Generally, first of all, when you send your item, make sure you pack it with all of the proper, like, packing peanuts, bubble wrap. Make sure when your items leave, they are, like, exactly the way you sent them. And also, make copies of the forms you send out just in case, because they're gonna have a hard time tracking this stuff, and it's going to be gone for, like, 2 months if you just get the standard grading. So by the end of the first month, you're freaking out, like, where's my toys? You know, obviously, yeah. You sent something that was important to you away, and it's going to feel like forever before you get it back. So just know it's going to be, like, 2 months to 2.5 months before you actually see your toys again. So don't freak out. I've sent a couple hundred pieces off, and everything's come back good. I've only had one issue is when I sent, a Titus.
Oh, yeah.
And he came back at a 9.5. But his head was off.
Yeah.
So I really don't... I mean, it kind of ruins the grading effect because now I have just a big knob head and his head somewhere in the package. But he got graded an exceptional high grade.
Yeah.
But he has no head.
Yeah.
I don't even know
how makes you wonder how that even happened.
Yeah, how that happened.
And now he's stuck like that permanently because you can never get in there and open them up.
And when you send your toys to be graded, very clearly there's different graders. And they always do things differently. Sometimes I send it a figure, and they'll accept it at the low scale, a standard size, and then it charges you, like, I don't know, $25. And then you send the same figure to a different grader, and he decides it's not that scale, it's a more expensive scale. Like, they just automatically change your pricing and just charge you whatever the hell, I guess, they want.
Oh,
I don't know.
Jeez, boo.
Yeah, and so you'll get stuff back that... Don't even try to figure out the numbers, okay? Like, don't send something away expecting... Don't care about the numbers. Just, you want to grade it because it looks nice. If it's really old and vintage, you just want to keep it safe, you know, this is obviously the way to go. But don't worry about the numbers. If you get something back that's an 8.5 or a 9.5, like, don't even worry about that, because I swear to God, you can send the same thing out 5 times and you'll get 5 different grades. It is all over the place. So just treat it like framing. And you'll
yeah,
okay.
Treat it like artwork.
Yeah, treat it like
frame
art.
A piece of art.
It. Don't worry about the numbers. No, it's going to be very expensive, and it's going to be gone for a very long time. My advice to you is to sign up for your own FedEx account, and then when they have this shipping option, use my FedEx account, and they'll actually not charge you their crazy high shipping rates, and just send it to you based on your account, so you get charged, you know, your discount that you get with FedEx. So do that. Don't use their shipping option. You'll save yourself a lot of money.
Oh, cool. That's cool. That's good advice. All right. I saved this one for the very end because this is going to be fun. Chaotix12345 on the forum has been going back and rewatching and re-listening to a lot of It Figures episodes. And he says on here, in every episode, there's always one member who never ceases to entertain me. The one, the only, the man, the myth, the legend, Lord Killen. So now we're feeding his ego. So he says... So he's got a set of questions directed basically to you.
You get some truth finally.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Drop some truth knowledge. Okay. So these four questions are specifically for you. So number one, are there any particular franchises that you'd love to see Lego sets based on?
I would like to see I'm not even going to say a franchise. I'm going to say I would like to see a Roman-inspired line.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Yeah.
Kind of like, because we got a little teaser of that in the minifigures. Because we got little Spartans.
Yeah, I would like to have a Spartan army and
do little Lego
like the
gods.
Gauls and stuff.
That'd oh, be if they amazing. Did like, yeah, like little trolls and like Gorgons and stuff like that for them to fight, that would be cool. Like a mythology
yeah,
line.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, I'd be all over that.
Yeah,
I
want it more like castle-themed where there's troop builder sets, and so you have huge Roman armies. Yeah,
big. Oh,
that's what I really want.
I'd be all over that, dude. I would probably buy all those sets.
Yeah,
I don't know where I'd put them.
I love just the Rome theme, and I would just love some Legos. Yeah. I almost want all those little Roman soldiers that came out in the minifigure line. I've actually been like hoarding them because
really,
I'm like, I'm gonna have to make my own 300 army, I guess.
Yeah, you gotta have 300 of them. All right, number two, whatever happened to Him Guy and Skinator?
You know, that almost every week I think about that. I'm like, man, what happened? Here's basically the way it worked. When I was doing the comic with Jerry Fleming, I do it by page because we live apart. So it's hard for a writer and an artist to work together. And like, if I wrote an entire comic and sent it to him, he's going to send me back art, and his art will inspire a different direction from my writing. So I decided, no, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to write 2 pages at a time, send it to him, and I'll write the story out, and I'll write exactly what I want to be drawn in the boxes, and then he'll send his art back to me with the word bubbles filled in, the art the way I wanted it, and we may make some minor changes. Generally, we didn't, because he usually got it right, and that would help me write the next 2 pages based on what I saw. So it's a weird, instead of writing out a complete story and then having to go to art, I would let the art inspire the story a little bit. So what happened was, I would write a couple pages and it'd be gone for art for a while and it'd come back. And then somehow, he got set like on a different project for a while, and he's doing those Marvel cards for a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
And then I got set on just a project for a while, either we were going to like New York or San Diego, and it just kind of got pressed apart. And we kept having this larger and larger gap to the point where like it kind of just fell through.
Yeah.
So I do think about it all the time, and I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to say I'm trying to write out the complete story and submit it completely to him. If he still even wants to do the art, and then we'll do it that way and see how that goes. And then once we get back on track, we'll continue it on. It's just a thing that the subject got away, people forgot about it, no one talked about it, so I don't even know if it's relevant anymore. But I really do want to finish it because it's something I started that, you know, I just let go to waste. And so I'm working on it. I'm thinking about it. I definitely do want to finish it. So I just need to sit down and actually write it all out and be done with it.
All right, so these next few questions, it's going to be funny to see if you even remember what he's talking about.
Okay.
Because I don't even remember the stuff that he's talking about all the way, but he references some of your amazing facts that you've told in the past. So, question number three.
Wiki knowledge, go ahead.
Here we go, question number three. No Masters of the Universe character has intrigued me more than the enigma known only as Bandages the Mummy. I'd like to know more about him. And since you seem to have all the facts, could you tell us his epic origin tale? I'm very interested to hear where his murderous intents came from and why a simple dislike of Coca-Cola would lead to him killing Songster. I don't even remember this. I remember Bandages, the Mummy, but I don't remember the Coca-Cola thing or the Songster thing.
Look.
So here we go. Good luck. Tell us the origin story.
It's really hard for me to remember the ancient times in the Master of the Universe world. But I'll try to recreate the story as best I can from the tomes of knowledge.
Maybe
we
should ask the Mighty Spector to just travel back to the ancient times and tell us what happened.
I mean, okay. So, obviously, Bandages is a distant cousin of Skeletor. I mean, it's hard to say to which family line did he fall. Was it his mother? Was it his father? We don't know where he actually came to be related to the now skeletal Skeletor. But we do know that his ancient customs were somewhat inspired by the Egyptian people. So
somewhat?
Okay. You know, normally when you see a skeleton, you believe somebody to be dead. Well, that's the case for many places, because if you look back on the original lore of the Masters Universe, when you saw a skeleton, you didn't go, oh, fight him, he's a Skeletor, you know? No, you would go, somebody died. Well, of course, his people, the family of Bandages, would see his body, you know, laying when he was sleeping. You know, you would be thinking, oh my God, somebody died. Well, we must do the customary thing and wrap his body as we do for our religion and practical purposes. So, that is how the Bandages thing came into play. He got wrapped one night when he slept.
He was just sleeping? Now, they just wrapped him up?
It's his covers.
That is now, messed up.
The Coca-Cola part, obviously this is in a little bit more of the future time, but Bandages, how can I say this? He has a health condition. You know, it's kind of like, it's a blood sugar thing, but he can't handle caffeine. So it's like, it's like giving a Mountain Dew, well, kind of, but it's like giving a Mountain Dew to a infant, okay? I gave my daughter a pixie stick the other day.
Oh, right? No.
She goes, and all of a sudden she acted like a crazy. She's running around all screaming like I just gave her baby crack. Well, Coca-Cola is baby crack.
Okay.
And growing up in these hard times and looking in the mirror and being sad like he was an intern Rick about his appearance, it really upset him. Boy, you know, he looked at himself, I'm a skeleton. I can't cry about it. So he has all this pent-up rage, drinks that Coca-Cola that he was given. Some say by Skeletor, I believe it's true, to set him into a murderous rage and release him into the world to battle people like He-Man and, you know, all the palace guards, which are always conveniently gone or missing or dead. Thank you, Bandages. You helped win the war.
And then Songster felt his wrath?
Yeah, well, song, you know, how are you going to sing a song about my woes? You know what I'm saying? I don't want to look in the mirror and be reminded that I'm what I am. So, of course, if you're going to sing a song and try to make me an epic legend and tell other people about my conditions, I'm going to freak out. And you might catch a little bit of that. Sorry, Songster. Maybe you shouldn't get everybody's business.
Okay. All right, here we go. So his next one is, we've all heard your amazing story about how Pixel Dan is the son of Skeletor who became Faker after a bout of drunken insanity that was caused by an obsession with the Blue Man Group that Dan still has to this day and forgets that he ever had.
I hate when you do that.
After hearing your story, I've always been curious as to how Dan slash Faker obtained the robotic parts in his chest that Faker normally sports. I mean, if Faker really did come from him, he'd surely have to have Faker's trademark robotic console on his chest at one point, or else the toy that was based on him wouldn't be 100% accurate. How did he rid himself of both those and the blue skin by the time he found it? Pop Culture Network. Did Songster use his song of peace and healing that originally ended the Great War to purify Dan into a 100% human with no robotic parts or Blue Man Group obsession before bandages struck him down that fateful Pepsi can with that fateful Pepsi can? Please confirm this for me, oh great storyteller.
Oh, wow.
I don't remember.
Okay, look.
The Blue Man Group thing. Although I guess it says I wouldn't remember it, so whatever.
Well, how do you get the colors if you like Skeletorish skin? Look. I mean, I'll keep this one simple because it's obviously as easy as that. We all know when you create a toy, the likeness isn't 100%.
So it's just wrong.
To save money, they do tend to reuse parts. So that would explain why you see all those robotic parts.
So where did
parts.
The robot parts come from?
Well, look, they were from a different, well, obviously from, some other robot toy. Look, here is why you don't see these parts on you now, is because, like some people's belly buttons, they're innies and outies. Obviously, you were blessed with having an innie, robotic plate, that is, inside of you, not facing outwards.
So it's inside my chest. You just can't see it.
Look, how good of a faker would you be if you'd be looking? Obviously, you'd be.
This is true.
You would be totally spotted out in today's.
I can't argue with that.
So that is why you were blessed with that. Now, why you're not the blue?
You look like your mother.
Simple. Thank God for modern medical technology. Where people who are jaundicedly blue, can be healed. By fluorescent lighting.
I hate that blue jaundice. Healed by fluorescent lighting. That's
intensely. A little more than this.
That's why we turn those on every week.
Yeah, it keeps the blue.
Keeps the blue.
Yeah, I swear, you know, a couple weeks ago, he came back from Jamaica blue. Like blueberry blue. You hit him in his lights for at
least... They don't have fluorescent lights in Jamaica.
No, they don't. That's a fact.
You almost had Mountain Dew all over you.
So, lastly, who would win in a fight between bandages and Rhino Reynolds?
Whoa. Whoa. Who are those guys?
Bandages would absolutely win in a fight if it's physical. But Rhino Reynolds, man, he... ego-wise... His huge ego would crush bandages. I'm saying. Who else talks about their cousins? Like, I'm related to Ryan Reynolds. You know, the star...
Oh, so Rhino Reynolds is his cousin.
So obviously, I'm important.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, they're family.
Awesome. All right, well, there we go. Amazing answers. I hope that's exactly what Chaotix is looking
for. If you believe that the truth in history is amazing, of course it is. That's why they have classes of history.
Oh.
Now, I would teach these said classes if it was...
Yeah, I'd go to that history class.
You would be inspired to do great things in your life.
All right, guys. Well, hey, if any of you else out there have your own questions you want to ask us, if you want to ask for more history lessons...
I may have rewritten some of that history in this explanation, but that's only because I was mistaken previously. Not now. Right now, I'm always 100%.
Always.
You know,
always.
You should make a book of all of your history.
Well, that requires writing, and that is the poor man's way of doing things.
Come on.
I'm just going to dictate,
you can type
into the YouTube translator, and hopefully that makes sense.
Perfect.
And you can't change anything.
All right, guys. Well, hey, head over to the forums at popculturenetwork.com. Click on the forum button right there on the front page, and if you find the It Figures forum, you'll find a topic for the Fan Corner. Post your questions for us, suggest some topics you'd like us to discuss, and we'll talk about them right here next week on the show. While you guys are there, make sure you're checking out all of the other original content on the site, such as video reviews, podcasts on toys, comic books, and all the things you love. And again, make sure you guys are checking out our official YouTube page at youtube.com/popculturenetwork and click the subscribe button, and please help spread the word of our videos. You can also follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/popculturenet, where you can get constant updates on all the things being posted on the site. And you can find us on Facebook. Just do a search for Pop Culture Network and like our Facebook page. Also, make sure you check out our official store at shoppcn.com. Killen, what do we have this week?
Well, I guess the newest thing in is we have these new Godzilla figures from Bandai America? Bandai USA, I guess.
Uh-oh, Bandai. No, actually, these look pretty cool.
These ones are... there's three figures. There's the Godzilla from the 2001 look, the movie look. There is the Space Godzilla. And then there's the... I don't know if it's pronounced Gigan. Gigan?
Gigan? Gigan? Gigan?
I don't know. I'm not a Godzilla person, so I can't tell you. But we have these three figures in the store. We have multiples of these. So if you're into Godzilla, these are kind of cool because they haven't... These are 6.5 inches. There hasn't really been nothing like this out for a little while other than the Bandai Japan stuff.
I like them because they're like classic monster toys, man. Godzilla toys are always like
that one's cool.
Yeah, like these cool like
rubber. Yeah, and they're soft plastic. Some points of articulation.
Oh, Jar Jar and Bison.
They got head movement. They got arm action, leg movement, tail movement. So they're pretty decent figures. They're pretty. The cards are kind of weird though. Look, their tails like stick off the ends of the cards, which is kind of odd. They cheaped on the cards, but the figures themselves are pretty cool.
Sweet. Awesome.
We are rounding close to 20,000 items on our store. There's new comics every Wednesday, of course. And also, if you're going to do the Christmas thing, now's the time to get your orders in. Hopefully, I think the cutoff time to meet Christmas would be about December 15th. So if you're willing, that's for U.S. December, I think, 7th for international customers should make it by Christmas. If you're looking to do Christmas shopping, go to our web store. Please help support us. If you're going to shop for people, you might as well do it this way. I can either drop ship the gifts to them, or I can just send them to you and you can give them to them. We even have the option to have stuff gift wrapped. So obviously, if you want some gift wrap, you can pay the extra fee it is, and then I will wrap it in the Christmas wrappings and ship it to them. I can put it in your name. However you want to do it, there's plenty of options that allow you to... do something like that. Also, if you have friends and family, they can go to our website, and we have a wish list option on our store. They can go through all the items and send you a wish list of stuff they want. You can do it that way. We have gift certificates available on the website, and just tons and tons of cool stuff. And we are adding things every single day, all the time. So
awesome!
If you can't find something there, you just don't like stuff.
That's right. We definitely have something here for everybody. No doubt about it. So definitely check it out, shoppcn.com. All right, guys, that's going to wrap up this week's episode of It Figures. So until next Wednesday, I'm Pixel Dan.
I'm Steven.
Okay.
We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.